In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. You give them something to eat. This order from Jesus was astonishing for so many reasons. The disciples had just gotten back, we are told, from their mission trip that we discussed last week, where Jesus had sent them out specifically with nothing. He told them, take no bread, no bag, no extra clothes, no money, nothing. Just go out, proclaiming the kingdom of God, relying on God's provision through those that you will encounter. So the disciples had gone out completely empty with nothing. And now they come back to Jesus, telling him of all the wonderful healing they had been able to do. Healing that transcended the resources that our world values so much. A healing that went to the very core of their beings. Jesus, seeing them return, knows that they are tired from their mission. And so he suggests, let's get away. It's time for a break. The crowds have been harassing us. Forever, it feels like, at this point in Mark's gospel. And so he says, let's get away by ourselves and rest. So off they go. They hop in a boat to escape the crowds, escaping across the Lake of Galilee. But as they get to the other side, they find out that these crowds were not so easily discouraged. And they had actually gone by foot and somehow beat them to their destination on the other side of the lake. So as Jesus gets out of the boat with his disciples, there's more crowds. More people in need. More people asking for help. Jesus, though he was trying to get some rest, we're told he still has compassion on them. Compassion because he says they're like sheep without a shepherd. Like people without a helpful leader or ruler. So Jesus teaches the crowd many things. As the day wanes on, the disciples start to get a little bit restless. They see the sun going down, and they see the thousands gathered with them in the middle of nowhere. They had been going to the middle of nowhere specifically to get away from people, but now all the people had come here, and they see a coming dilemma. Thousands of people in the middle of nowhere, hungry mouths to feed. So the disciples preemptively go up to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, the sun, it's getting low. I think it's time to stop all the chatter, stop the teaching, send the crowds away. Send them back to villages. They need to buy something for themselves to eat. And that's where Jesus' words struck them. You, give them something to eat. Hopefully from the text you can just sense the angst, the anxiety, and I think even the sarcasm that comes dripping out of the disciples' response. Oh, really, Jesus? So you want us to go take 200 denarii, maybe 200 days worth of wages, go out to these far-off villages, go grab food, carry all the food back here, and then feed all these people? Really? You think that's going to work? The disciples, as we just heard last week, had been told, don't carry any money, don't carry any extra bread. And now Jesus is saying, feed these people. Really, Jesus? You told us to have nothing, and now you want us to feed them. Really? Jesus then asked them, but how much do you have with you? Go look. So off they go. The disciples rally together and figure out how much food they have between them. This is food, these 5 loaves and 2 fish that they come up with, that I assume that they actually received from the villages, the houses they had stayed in on their mission trip. Because remember, they were to go out to these villages, preach the kingdom of God, and they were to go into a house and stay there. And they were supposed to eat whatever was given to them, be provided for, receive hospitality. And I would guess that as they were sent on their way after preaching the kingdom of God, these hospitable people that welcomed them also said, here, take some bread, some fish for your journey. And they sent them on with a little bit of extra. So the disciples gather these extra 5 loaves and 2 fish that they've probably gotten from these villages they've been preaching in, and they bring it back to Jesus. And again, the sarcasm, I assume, is going on in them of, here you go, Jesus. Here's our lunch. 5 loaves of bread, 2 fish. There you go. If you think that's going to feed everybody, good luck. So they plop their dinner down at Jesus' feet, probably a little exasperated, thinking, great. Not only are the crowds not going to eat, now we're not going to eat either. You break up 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish for 5,000 people, and pretty much everybody gets nothing. But Jesus takes their offering, all of their bread, their fish, their very dinner, and he tells them, go, break up the crowd into food sharing groups. And off they go. In the meantime, Jesus meaningfully looks up into heaven, we're told. And remember, this is the heartbeat of what Jesus has been about in his mission. It's about his heavenly Father. It's about the kingdom of God. Jesus has firmly believed in the very core of his being that God is taking care of his world and taking care of his people. And Jesus looks up to heaven with this meager offering. We're told that he honors it, he blesses it, and gives thanks for it. And he just trusts that God, his kingdom is here, his kingdom will provide all that is needed. And he begins to break it. He begins to share it. And so Jesus just starts to pass out the loaves and the fish as he breaks them. And he hands out more and more and more. This defies all rational explanation. There is no accountant in our world who could explain what is going on in this process. And that, I believe, is the very point. No accounting of this bread and fish will answer how it provided for God's people in this instance. How it went far enough. That's the point. It's not about explaining how this happens. It's about understanding Jesus' fundamental trust that in the face of impossible odds, in the face of nothing making sense about how they were going to be provided for, he trusted God. And somehow, nobody knows how, that bread, that fish, it went far enough. Their trust fueled it. God, his kingdom was here. He would provide. And he did. So much that they even had more leftovers than they started with. So Jesus had first told them, his disciples, to go out empty, with nothing. Remember that from last week? Absolutely nothing. Be vulnerable. Be empty. Be helpless. Be ready to receive. Go out receiving the hospitality of God and of others. And now today, I believe we complete this important couplet of understanding what God's kingdom is about, where Jesus then says, whatever you have, whatever excess you've been giving after you received on your journey, now share it. Place it into God's hands. Give it over to him. It will provide. It will be enough. Notice the pattern. Go out empty and receive. And then once you've received, give it all. And I believe this pattern is the pattern of the kingdom of God. This is the pattern that we're being invited into. Not just one or the other, but an empty receiving and then a giving till we're empty and repeat. This is the rhythm, the pattern of the way God wants to work in his world and work in our lives. This is a relationship built on sharing. This is community at its heart. Receive and give. Receive and give. And if you think about it, at the heart of this, as we've already been seeing throughout Mark's gospel, it all comes back to trust in God. To truly receive, to be empty, to be vulnerable, to say, I need help, to beg, requires trust. Requires you to trust that God somehow, through others, through some miraculous way, is going to come through to fill you. To be empty, to receive, requires huge trust. And on the other side of the coin, to give requires huge trust. To have something set aside potentially for yourself, for your family, and to be faced with the need of others, and to say, I'm still going to give, and I don't know how or why, and I'm going to give. That requires trust that God will work through that giving. And that again, after you have given, you will receive again in some way. I believe this giving and receiving, this relationship of sharing, this community, this is what the mission of Jesus is all about. It's about entering into this relationship with God and his kingdom, of entering into this relationship with one another. This is why the disciples go out with nothing. This is why the disciples, when they have something, give it all. Because this is the rhythm and the pattern, and it must be complete. We can't have just one side or the other. We've probably all experienced in one form or fashion what it's like to have an unbalanced relationship, an unbalanced community where there's not giving and receiving in proper rhythm. If you're the one who's always receiving, 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 those who are constantly giving to you will be burned out. You will destroy the relationship. And any of us who have been in those relationships know how hard it is when somebody is only a taker. But on the flip side, to be in a relationship with somebody who only wants to be the giver, the giver, the giver, the giver, and they never make themselves vulnerable to receive, that relationship breaks down as well. Jesus knows this. He sees this. And that's why it's so important that his disciples go out empty to receive in vulnerability and then come back to give after they've been filled. Give and receive. This is the rhythm of community, the relationship of sharing that is essential to God's kingdom. It's the liberation that God is offering each and every one of us to enter into a new kind of relationship where we give and receive, not just one or the other, but where we become givers and receivers. And again, this is all about trust. So may we be challenged by this text today to reestablish where we have gone astray. Think about your own life, your own relationships, and your family, your community here in this congregation. Has it become unbalanced? Is there unequal giving and receiving going on? And remember that this giving and receiving is not money or food necessarily. It's just any sort of give and take within a relationship. And we all have something to give, and we all need to receive. Where are the relationships in your life in balance? Do you prefer to always be the giver? Do you prefer to always be the receiver? Where are you out of whack? Reflect on that. Because for us to sit in the sweet spot of God's kingdom, to rely and trust on God, we need to trust him as givers, but trust him so much that we're willing to give till we're vulnerable and empty, trusting that he will then fill us again somehow, some way. Give and receive. This is the rhythm of God's kingdom. This is what we're being invited into. This will bring true healing for us in this community, for us in our relationships, and for the world at large. May we embody this and model this for the world, giving and receiving in a healthy rhythm and balance, so that we create community and relationships of sharing in the way that God has done for us. Amen.